Now this morning, I want you to turn to the Gospel according to John. I'm going to read from chapter 20, just one verse, for my text, for the message today. John chapter 20, and I shall read verse 21. While you're finding your place, may I say again to those of you who are visiting with us today that it's a real joy to have you in the house of the Lord. I hope that you'll find a relaxed atmosphere in which to worship Christ. We're just home folks. We are happy to have you in our services today. We shall read John 20 and verse 21 after we pause in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we are grateful today for this wonderful opportunity. We thank Thee for the worship hour, for bringing us back from vacation, for this great crowd that's come today to hear Thy Word. May they be blessed because of it. May Christ be honored through it. May souls be saved and added to the church even today is our prayer in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. In the 20th chapter of the Gospel according to John, verse 21, these are the words of Jesus. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." I want to talk to you today about your favorite subject, you. Just plain old you. With all of the 3.5 billions of people in the world, there's not another you. Whoever you are, whatever you are, whatever your state or status, your rank or position in life, there's nobody on earth just like you. You are an individual. Now, to everybody else, you might seem unconventional. That's a better way of saying odd, or peculiar, or different, or strange. But you're you just the same. To everybody else, you might appear unattractive. That's a better way of saying ugly. But you're still you, just the same. To everybody else, you might appear unresponsive, unapproachable, unintelligent, unreasonable, unsociable, unsound, unintelligible, but you're still you, just plain you. To some people, you might even seem unnecessary, but you're still you. And I want to talk to you about you. My message is entitled, You and Your Mission. Let us first consider you, just you. Let's pretend that everybody else is missing this morning. There's nobody in the audience but you, just you. Have you taken a good look at yourself lately? Oh, I don't mean your outward adornment, because what you have on the outside really doesn't count. Beloved, it's what's in the heart. You are not what you possess. Man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. So said Jesus. You, mother, dad, son, daughter, you. You, brother, sister. You, professional man. You, doctor. You, lawyer. Can I paraphrase a little bit and quote something that's very familiar to you? Rich man, poor man, beggar man, thief. Doctor, lawyer, Indian chief. Just you. Husband or wife, brother or sister, laborer, businessman, merchant, student, housewife. I want to talk to you because I want to talk about you this morning. Who are you? What are you? Say, did you know that you're written up in the Bible? I read in the first book of the Bible that God created you in His own image and in His own likeness. You are a creature created by God. You are a human being. Now, I know that they tell us, and I've heard this all of my life, and I don't know how true it is, that the body is worth about 98% in its chemical compound. I don't know how true that is, but I read something the other day that startled me, and I'm going to cash in on it one of these days. I heard that for every pound of human flesh, and this will involve some of us more than it does others, for every pound of human flesh, there is the equivalency or the potential of 11,400,000 kilowatts of atomic energy. I didn't even know they measured atomic energy in kilowatts. And those 11,400,000 kilowatts of atomic energy are valued at $570 million. So that means if you weigh 150 pounds, you're worth $85,500,000,000. I wish some of you'd go out and cash in on that. We'd send 5,000 missionaries around the world instead of 50. And we'd go on 100 radio stations instead of one. You are of an uncalculated worth and value. Because you're a living soul. My Bible tells me, and I believe it word for word, syllable for syllable, and letter for letter. My Bible tells me that God created man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I don't care what the PhDs say about it. I don't believe I ever climbed a tree and swing from my tail in a tree. I believe I was created by God in the likeness and image of God, and I'm a human living soul that I shall live forever and forever. Amen. You, this morning, you are either saved or lost. You're either a church member or a non-church member. You are either an asset or a liability. That's better than saying a plus or minus. There are a lot of sorry Christians in the world. There are a lot of sorry church members. Some of them are sorry for their sins. Some are sorry for their shortcomings and failures and mistakes. Some are sorry they got caught. And some are just plain sorry. Just plain sorry. Talking about you this morning and me. We are all hunks of clay. At our best, we are bad. Very bad. To borrow from an earlier message, you're either a sailboat or a steamboat. You're either a thermometer or a thermostat. You're either an oyster or a jellyfish or a dolphin. You're either a critic or a sympathizer. You're either a builder or a destroyer. You're either a maker or a breaker. You're either a kicker or a puller. The easiest thing in the world to do is kick. Why, even a horse can kick. A mule can kick. I tell you, I've been grieved when I've heard reports of people kicking about our musical program, when our people are doing the best they can. I don't have anything but pity and prayer for anybody who would do that. Now, let me just level with you. I don't care what you say about me. You can kick about my preaching all you want to, but don't kick about my music and my people that are doing the best they can. Some people have kicked everything until their kicker is almost kicked out. And you can't be a kicker and a puller at the same time, folks. Even a horse knows that. A horse can't pull while kicking. This fact I merely mention. And he can't kick while pulling, which is my chief contention. Let's imitate the good old horse and lead a life that's fitting. Just pull an honest load and there'll be no time for kicking. Just plain horse sense. We do well to covet that horse sense in our lives today. You. Now I speak of your mission. Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. That simply means that your mission in life is a commission for life. Jesus put it this way, Matthew 28, go you into all the world and preach the gospel. Go ye therefore to every nation, teaching, baptizing, making disciples. Beloved, this morning, I look you squarely in the face to tell you, on the authority of God's word as God's messenger, you have been commissioned. You have been commissioned by the divine commissioner. You have been commissioned with a heavenly commission. To say that you have been commissioned is to say that you've been sent. Now, a person who is sent ought to go. Somebody said, well, I've never received a call to go. Let me ask you a heart-to-heart question. Have you ever received a call to stay? Everybody's called to go. You'd have to receive a call to stay. Everybody is commissioned to go. You're sent on a divine commission. Let's observe first how you are sent. You are sent in Jesus' name, in the lovely, all-sufficient, all-powerful, conquering name of Jesus. You are sent under His banner, the banner of the cross. We go not as cowards into the world. We go as heroes, as warriors, as fighters, because we march under the banner of the cross. He sends you with His word. Oh, what a precious possession to know that wherever we go, we can take the word of the living God. The word that is sharper than a two-edged sword. He sends you empowered by His Spirit. You see, God doesn't command you to go out powerless. You wouldn't expect to get anywhere in a car without a battery or without an engine, would you? God doesn't expect you to get anywhere without a power, and the power in your life is the Holy Spirit. God has sent you out armed with His gospel. He has sent you out dressed as a soldier. He has sent you out trained as a disciple. He has sent you out sustained by His promise that He would always be with you to support you and help you wherever you are sent. I read a story about an officer in the British Army. He was sent on a very dangerous mission to the country of Tibet. He took the assignment bravely, fearlessly, and unhesitatingly. One of his friends said to him, how is it? How is it that you can face such a dangerous mission so bravely, so unafraid, and so calmly? And this was his answer. First, he said, I have been commissioned, I have been sent out by an unimpeachable authority. And then I have been sent on an honest and sane and sensible mission. And besides all of that, I've been sent with the assurance that if I get in a tight, the government of my country will be behind me. Let me paraphrase a little bit this morning. You have been sent by an unimpeachable authority, even the authority of God Himself. You have been sent on a sensible mission. You have been sent with the assurance that if you get in a tight place, if you get in trouble, if you go into the danger zone, that you will not go alone, but He will go with you. Listen to it. I will never leave you. Our English says never once. The Greek in which it was written says never five times. I will never, 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 never leave you. Why, we ought to be ready to face the world with that promise this morning. If we go, He will go with us. Remember that He who hath sent you is ever present. We received some very disturbing news on Friday after we returned. A young lady, some of you know Carolyn Durham, you know her, Aline. Others of you know her. She graduated from our school. How long ago? 5, 6 years ago? Last week, as a medical missionary in Africa, she was killed. And I thought when I heard the news, how tragic. And yet, I said to myself, this was for her an appointment, a new life. It seems senseless to us that a young girl would lose her life in Africa on a foreign field. But He makes no mistakes. And then I was reminded that my Savior went into the danger zone of Calvary. And there He suffered and bled and died for me. And I think we ought to say with one of the missionaries who was killed by the Oka Indians a few years ago, he is no fool to give what he cannot keep in order to win what he cannot lose. So Carolyn Durham this morning is with the Lord from a field of service in Africa. You say, but God must not have been with her. Oh, yes, He was. Even to the end of the age. He has simply taken her on early in our timing to be with Him. Why have you been sent? You have been sent to shine as a light in a dark place. You have been sent to speak as a witness of His salvation. You have been sent to live as an example of His marvelous, life-changing grace. You have been sent to love even as He loved. You have been sent to rescue the perishing, to lift up the fallen, to care for the dying. The why of your mission in life can be summed up in one sentence. Your mission in life as a Christian is to tell the old, old story of redeeming grace. Some missionaries of yesteryear tell us about their journeys into the western part of our country. Pioneer missionaries among the gypsies. As they were making their way through, a band came to them, and a mother said to the missionary, come and pray for my boy, he's dying. I used to hear my grandmother sing the song that came out of that story. It's called Tell It Again. Tell It Again. Into a tent where a gypsy boy lay, dying alone at the close of the day. And the chorus goes like this. Tell it again. Tell it again. Salvation story. Repeat o'er and o'er. Till none shall say of the children of men. Nobody ever told me before. Tell it again. I admonish you to tell it courageously. I admonish you to tell it clearly. I admonish you to tell it convincingly. I admonish you to tell it continually. tell it compellingly that Jesus Christ died on the cross for lost sinners like you and like me. Then I wonder, in your mission, where he might send you. Let me tell you, he sends you next door, across the street, across the neighborhood, across the nation, and around the world, to every country and every continent and every climate. On the seven continents of our globe, there is a place for you somewhere. There's not a preacher, and I say this humbly to the glory of God, there's not a preacher on the top side of the earth that pushes and preaches missions more than your pastor. There's not a church in the World Baptist Fellowship that outgave this church last year for foreign missions. So don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. We do not well if we win the world and lose our own neighbors. I believe Fort Worth, Texas is one of the greatest mission fields that I know anything about. Hundreds of thousands of people, unenlisted, unreached, untouched by the gospel in your community and mine. We ought to say with David Livingston, I'm prepared to go anywhere for Jesus as long as it is forward. There's no room to retreat. There's no turning around. We've gone too far to turn around this morning. We are too involved to give up today. You are too involved in the ministry and program of the church to say, I'm going to quit. And let me caution you, I've never in all of my life, I've never had a man or a woman or a family to come to me and say to me, who was regularly attending church, after this Sunday, we're quitting. People don't quit like that. They lose out in a slow leak. Start missing a service here and missing a service there and keeping God's money this Sunday and spending your tithe for something else next week and going yonder and there and doing this and that and the other. Just a slow, slow process of losing out. Lot didn't lose out in an all-night blowout. He lost out gradually. You won't lose out in an all-night shindig. When the time comes for you to be in the all-night shindig, you've already been out of church in your heart, even if not in your presence. You see, a man doesn't just walk out of church and into the world full swing. He loses a little bit here, and a little bit there, and a little bit here, and a little bit there. And then he gets in the all-night shindig. What I'm trying to say to you, you and I should be involved in this great mission of winning souls. Some members of this church haven't done anything for 15 years but warm a bench. I'm just telling it like it is this morning. I told my class, I've been over in North Carolina and Virginia, and they just preach over there. Well, last Sunday in Charlotte, North Carolina, I sat for an hour and 15 minutes and heard a man preach. I don't think I'm good enough to preach that long. And he preached, and he had 1,795 in Sunday school, too. Let me level with you this morning. The time has come for you to get off the bench and get on your feet and do something for Christ. If for one month the membership of this church would become involved, I mean totally involved, we could have the greatest revival meeting that Fort Worth, Texas has ever known. And Billy Graham's been here, and Old Roberts has been here, and Old Joe Blow's been here, and everybody else has been here. But if all of this church right here would become involved for 1 month, we'd have the greatest revival meeting Old Fort Worth, Texas has ever seen. We just get involved, folks, off the bench and out into the wild, compelling them to come in. That's what we need. Archimedes, the great Greek, said, give me a place whereon to stand and I'll move the world. Beloved, we've got a place to stand on this morning. We're standing on the old black book. You're visiting with us this morning. You're looking at the only textbook in this church. You're looking at the only foundation, the only message that we have. We're standing on the book. The book and the blood and the blessed hope. Amen. Let's move the world toward Christ. On the grave of a missionary in New Guinea, there was inscribed this message. When he came, there was no light. When he left, there was no darkness. Oh, I wish that that could be said about us. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." Most of us are not even striking a match. God help us to shine as bright lights in the world of darkness and decay and trouble and distress. This whole world's not going to last much longer. Let's get some people ready to go to heaven. There's something else about the where of your mission in life and the how and the why. It has a certain urgency about it. Jesus said, "Work while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work." He sends you again and again. Somebody says, "Well, I've been so many times, I don't want to go back in the more." That's the same thing Peter said when Jesus said, "Launch out one more time into the deep." And Peter had he must have been a Baptist. He had every good argument you could think of. "Lord, I've got to go home and get some sleep. Lord, I've got to go take care of the kids. Lord, I've got to go take care of the fishing business somewhere else." Let me tell you something this morning. You can't serve God unless you're willing to give up something. So too many people want to serve God after they do everything else. I repeat, you can't serve God. You can't serve in this church unless you're willing to give up and sacrifice something. Or maybe somebody. God have mercy on families where just one member disturbs the whole program of service for Christ. God have mercy on parents who can't serve Jesus because of children. I'm one of nine, and I can't ever remember missing a Sunday in my life except when I was sick flat of my back on the bed. Somehow my mother managed to do it with nine of us. Now, we didn't always, well, you know how it goes when you got nine kids. What I'm trying to say to you, don't let your family and your job and your position keep you from serving Christ. Because God can take it away from you. Same one who gave it to you. To every man, God has given a mission in life. To Noah was given the mission to build an ark. To Moses was given the mission to deliver a nation. To Joshua was given the mission to conquer a country. To David was given the mission to rule a kingdom. To Paul was given the mission of journeying around the world to preach the gospel. And already I know what you're saying. Let me say it for you. Preacher, I can't be a Noah and build an ark. No, but you can be you and paddle the canoe that God has given you to paddle. But I can't be a Moses and deliver a nation. No, but you can win that neighbor and that friend to Christ and deliver them from the bondage of sin. But I can't be a Joshua and conquer a country. But you can lay claim on some territory for Christ in your life. I can't be a David and rule a kingdom. But you can be the king of your spiritual castle. I can't be a Paul and journey around the world. But you can be you and journey around the block and bring somebody to Christ. Some of you know what your mission is in life, but you're just not willing to do it. Some of you know that God wants you to be singing in the choir, but you're not willing to do it. Some of you know that God wants you to be down there in that Sunday school teaching some little children, but you're not willing to do it. Some of you fit this little program right here perfectly. I'll go where you want me to go, maybe. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. Real service is what I desire. I'll sing a solo anytime, dear Lord, but don't ask me to sing in the choir. I'll do what you want me to do, dear Lord. I like to see things come to pass, but don't ask me to teach boys and girls. I'd rather stay in my class. I'll do what you want me to do, dear Lord. I yearn for thy kingdom to thrive. I'll give you my nickels and dimes, dear Lord, but don't ask me to tithe. Getting awful close in here now, isn't it? It's awful warm. You know I'm telling you the truth. Some of you said those same things in a different language, but the same thing. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll say what you want me to say. I'm busy with myself just now, dear Lord. I'll help you some other day. And on it goes. Your mission. If you cannot on the ocean sail among the swiftest fleet, rocking on the highest billows, laughing at the storms you meet, you can stand among the sailors anchored yet within the bay. You can lend a hand to help them as they launch their boats away. If you are too weak to journey up the mountain steep and high, you can stand within the valley while the multitudes go by. You can chant in happy measure as they slowly pass along. Though they may forget the singer, they'll never forget the song. If you have not gold and silver ever ready to command, if you cannot toward the needy reach an ever open hand, you can visit the afflicted, or the erring you can weep. You can be a true disciple sitting at the Savior's feet. If you cannot in the conflict prove yourself a soldier true, if where the fire and smoke are thickest, there's no work for you to do. When the battlefield is silent, you can go with a careful tread. You can bear away the wounded. You can cover up the dead. Do not stand then idly waiting for some greater work to do. Fortune is a lazy goddess. She will not come to you. Go and toil in any vineyard. Do not fear to do or dare. If you want a field of service, you can find it anywhere. You and your mission. You are you, and nobody else can be you, whatever they try to do. And you can't be anybody else but you. And only you can fulfill your mission in life. I read about a boy that was brought to the United States from Africa, a black boy. A missionary saw him running a foot race over there, and he'd never seen anything like it. So he thought he'd bring him to the United States to compete with ours. And so they brought him over. All the odds were against him. He was black. He was a foreigner. He had not run in this territory and this climate. Everything was against him. So the time came for them to race, and all the reporters were standing around. And so the whistle blew, and off they started to the race. And that black boy picked up steam all the way. And he just looked like lightning going down the track. And nobody could believe it, he ran so fast. And when the race was run, the reporters, when he got his breath, asked him, "What on earth did you do to make you run so fast?" He said, "Well, I just prayed." "Now, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that you just prayed?" "Yes, that's all. I just prayed." "Well, would you mind telling us what you prayed?" "No. I just said, 'Dear Jesus, if you'll pick them up, I'll put them down.'" And he done picked them up faster than I could put them down. That's your mission in life. Just pray, "Dear Jesus, you pick them up and I'll put them down." And he'll do it. And you can fulfill your mission in life. Nobody but you. I'm talking to you this morning. Let's stand together. Our Father, we pray this morning that each one of us in this congregation might recognize our mission in life. That each one of us might recognize that we have a duty to perform, a mission to complete, a commission to execute, a plan and a program divinely instituted for our own lives. Help us not to look at our neighbors this morning. Help us not to look at our fellow church members. Help us to look in the mirror of your word. Help us to look squarely at ourselves this morning and see ourselves as thou dost see us. And may we, everyone, surrender to that mission in life that we have. And may we never be satisfied until we fully, totally surrendered our lives to thee, fulfilling the mission that thou hast given us individually, personally, in this world, whatever it might be. In Jesus' name we pray.